From WXXI News, this is Weekend Connections, the podcast. I'm Megan Mack, flying solo this week because Evan Dawson is on vacation. That means we'll probably have a much smoother ending to the podcast this week, where the music comes on at the right time, it stays on. I'm half joking. This is actually just a test to see if he's listening. Well, Evan was here earlier in the week when we talked about a concert called United with Music. The event brings together musicians from different cultures and backgrounds with the goal of promoting peace. The performances will benefit a local organization called Refugees Helping Refugees. It's a nonprofit that assists refugees in Rochester as they settle into their new homes. Sadia Omar is the vice president and co-founder of that organization. She grew up in Somalia, but she was forced to leave her home in the early 90s when civil war ravaged the country. She lost her siblings and her husband, and she came to Rochester after spending 10 years in a refugee camp in Kenya. Here she is talking about what life was like in that camp.
It's really tough. You don't get everything you want. We don't have money. We lost everything. All we had was to survive and be somewhere. And then being in the refugee camp, you depend. Everything is you get from United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. And they depend on the international community. Whatever they get from the international community is what they give to the refugees. So we get food. It's not everything that we have it here. So we used to get dry beans, cooking oil, and white flour. And the food you get is how many people in the household. That's how you get the food. So if you have four, they make sure it's only for four people. Water is a problem. We used to get water once a day. Sometimes it comes in the middle of the night. Sometimes it doesn't come. So the water you get is what you're going to use for your food. You're going to wash every, you're going to use for your dishes. You take bath, you wash your clothes and everything. So life is really tough in the refugee camp.
And you were there for 10 years, and then what happened?
And then we keep trying. Everybody write their story and take their story to United Nations. There's an office, and we're in the refugee camp. Every morning we have to go to the UN, and you write your story, what you went through, and they look at your story. It's like winning a lottery. The way you go every day and buy a ticket and you don't win the lottery is just like that. So they just pick your name. But what I did in the refugee camp was I was promoting girls' education and women's rights in the refugee camp. That's what I did, and that's how I got my process, because there was a problem, like men were eloping with young girls, and attendance in schools were, compared to boys, girls, it was, attendance was very low. So I had to go from door to door. I have to held meetings with the family and say, we need the girls in school. And then we came to find out they're eloping with men and report them to the police and bring back the girls so they can be in school. And
Sadia, let me just interrupt and ask you so I understand.
Sure.
You said when you were in the camp, you were promoting women's rights. That's how you were doing it? You were making sure that the girls had a chance at education, that they weren't just sort of targets for older men to elope with?
Yes. So they don't get married at early age, so they should be in school.
And did that happen? Was that working out?
Yeah, it was working out, mm-hmm. And it wasn't safe for me because a lot of men were not happy, so I had to get protection and be in a protection camp. Like, there was a protection camp, so I was there, and that's how I got resettlement to come to the United States.
Do we take it for granted here, do you think?
Yes, I do. When I see kids don't go to school, I say, I wish they knew how other kids really want to go to school and they don't have what these kids have. I say, I wish I had money to take them back there so they can see how life is there and take it serious.
How would you describe, you know, sort of Rochester's reaction and reception of refugees, Sadia?
I feel people in Rochester are very good people, and they really welcome us. And when the rally that Mary Monroe was talking about, when the president banned the travel for the six, it was seven countries, but right now it was six countries. I felt like I lost hope. Like, here I am, I'm lucky I'm being here. There are other refugees who their children are still back there, wishing that their families will come over. And he wants to take that away from them. I felt like the chances were very slim. But after I went to that rally, I felt like this all love around us with all these people screaming for us, then I felt so great, and I knew there are people supporting us, and Rutgers is a great place.
I'm sure that the president and the White House would say that they would only want to welcome folks like you, but they were just trying to protect this country. What would you say to them if that's what you heard?
We are good people. And we went through a lot of process before coming here. It's not like they just pick us and bring us here. You go through so much screening before you come to this country. I want people to see us like people, like other human beings. It's only that we lost so much, and it wasn't our choice to be refugees. We were forced to be refugees. So don't see us in a different way. When you see me, don't see me the way I dress, the way I look. Just see a human being like you.
The United with Music concert will be held Sunday, June 25th at the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. You can purchase tickets at unitedwithmusic.com. Next up, when you hear the name Roland Williams, you might think of his Super Bowl victory with the St. Louis Rams in 1999. But Williams, who's a Rochester native, wants to be known for something different these days. He's seen the effects poverty, gangs, drugs, and violence can have on teens living in poverty because he's been there himself. That's why he founded the Champion Academy. It's a mentoring program dedicated to helping students living in poverty and helping them get on a path to success. During the program, a listener named Linda asked Williams if the Champion Academy is connected with the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative. You'll hear part of Linda's call and then Roland's response.
What I seem to get from things I read in the paper and what I hear is that there just seems to be this lack of coordination or just this sense of stuckness. And I was wondering, do you have any input? Do you help with that? Do you contribute your staff toward any of their initiatives? That's all. And just keep up the good work.
Thank you, Linda.
Well, that's a great question. Well, I, like everyone, looked at the documents for the Rochester Anti-Poverty Initiative. I heard about a lot of people who were involved in the front end of giving recommendations and advice. And I agree, there should be a collaboration of efforts and attitudes. One of the challenges is that I think it's important that when you say you want to collaborate, that you have to put your money where your mouth is. That's a simple term, but we use it in football, right? And so, for example, one of the tenets of the Anti-Poverty Initiative is trauma-responsive support. That's one of the tenets of the Champion Academy. I agree that trauma and vicarious trauma are humongous reasons that lead to bad decisions, right? So I subscribe to the Anti-Poverty Initiative tenet in action. However, you know, I heard about, you know, read something is like $30-40 million came in from the Anti-Poverty Initiative and was distributed to organizations looking to help make a difference. And it was like 30 million or something went to Hillside, and then a million went to MCC, and then some more went to Catholic Family Charities. And so for a lot of people, they feel like that's not the collaboration or the team, you know, it's only a few people that get the resources. And I think that has, you know, hurt a lot of people's feelings, honestly. And I just believe that at the end of the night, it's going to just require us to keep on pushing, keep trying, and keep being a team. And so I support the Anti-Poverty Initiative, certainly, and I definitely agree with its principles. And so we'll just be doing the work and aligning ourselves in action.
You heard Roland Williams provide some numbers related to funding in that clip. We weren't able to follow up with him about the source of that information, but according to the Democrat and Chronicle in December of last year, $30 million in public and private funds will support programs in Rochester, with $16 million from the state going to MCC, Hillside, and our MAPI's mentoring program, and Catholic Family Center is a part of that program. There's a further breakdown of the numbers in the article, and I'll post the link on the page for this podcast. Before we move on from the Champion Academy, I do want to share one more clip with you. This was one of the most fun moments of the week for me on the show. Anthony Bogar is 13 years old, and he's a member of the Champion Academy. Before he started the program, he was struggling at school, having a tough time attending. But listen to what happened after he connected with his mentor at the Champion Academy. Here's Anthony's mom, Tatiana.
Anthony actually went from a 0.14 to a 3.50.
Hey, nice.
Say it again, Mama. What happened, Mama?
He went from a 0.14 3.14 to a 3.50.
Now, I don't know how many organizations we have out here, but I don't know how many are doing that. That is groundbreaking. That's what we are going to do more of with the Champion Academy as we roll out this third year of our pilot and as we head into being a long-term part of the Rochester community.
Anthony, when you got your new report card and you saw that number, how did you feel?
Excited.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more. You got to be more than excited to go
nah,
from.
I was just excited because I didn't know I was going to get that high this year mm-hmm. because I was doing awful in the first beginning of marking period. But when I went to the Champion Academy, it helped me boost my grade up a whole lot.
How did they help you? Did they help you learn how to study more effectively? Or
yeah, they helped me study. They helped me, like I said, not following the people that's not doing wrong, that's not doing right, and go to a whole other different path and work on it.
June is Pride Month, and celebrations, marches, and solidarity events are being held in cities across the country. And some of these events have been interrupted by protests from members of the LGBTQ community who feel the movement marginalizes minorities. We heard from members of the local LGBTQ community of color who shared their thoughts on how to build a more inclusive movement. Our guests expressed how not all spaces are welcoming to people of color. And in this clip, you'll hear Adrian Elam, the head chair of the Rochester Black Pride Group. But first, here's Ed Brockenbrough. He's an associate professor at the Warner School of Education at the University of Rochester, and he's sharing a story about discrimination at a gay bar in Philadelphia.
There's been a lot going on in Philly's LGBTQ communities right now around race and racism. You know, and I can actually remember going to one of the bars there that's now closed called Bump. They had they used to have $2 happy hours on Friday, $2 martini happy hours. And started out as a white space, but then the black folks found out, hey, $2 martinis, hey. You know, everybody likes $2
sure.
martinis. And when we started coming in greater numbers, that's when a dress code started to mm-hmm. get applied. And, you know, so you couldn't come into the space if you had on jeans and Timberlands. And you just saw how the space was actively trying to keep us out and actively making it uncomfortable for us to be there. And so that is definitely a problem. Even for those of us who are comfortable enough in our own skin to travel in various spaces, there are people who are not, and they lose access to the resources and community networks that get provided in those spaces.
Mm-hmm. Adrian, how do you feel about that question?
I mean, I kind of think that starting Rochester Black Pride and a lot of these other spaces kind of speaks for itself. I think a lot of times, even when I've gone out, like I've had my kind of self-conscious, well, I'll just pay anything, like, you know, and I think even with the clubs and things, the dress codes and the standard, they're like, oh, it's in sync with how I already dress, so it's not a problem for me. But I think as my life has moved into more community-based work, I have to be more conscious about, and even just trying to be a better person and human being, I have to be more conscious about my friends, my families, my siblings who have different experiences than me, and they deal with things differently and have to worry about a lot of different things. I have to take those on if I want to. I don't want to just have the space be comfortable for me. I need it to be comfortable for them. If not, I'm just like, oh, you want to go here? Like, nah, I don't go there. Or no, I'm not comfortable in this space, or I haven't gone there in eons. And it's like, why? And then kind of figuring out what that is. But I also think that, like Ed, to echo a little what Ed said, these are problems, and I think that sometimes, like folks who are, we're comfortable enough and we'll just pay it or whatever. We don't necessarily look at the fact that we shouldn't be comfortable with the fact that some clubs only want to, you know, have the extra security for darker skinned people, or they want to pat down specific folks. But, you know, white people come in and they just, oh, how you doing? And da, 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 and all these different things. And, you know, no one behind the bar looks like me, so I don't get that conversation, yada, yada.
Let's end the week with some music, specifically a Native American prayer song. Singer Bethany Yarrow is the daughter of Peter Yarrow. That's Peter from Peter, Paul, and Mary. And like her father, Bethany is an activist and a folk musician. She performs with cellist Rufus Cappadocia, who you may have heard on this program before. Here's Bethany Yarrow talking about the meaning behind some of the songs that she performs, and we'll hear her sing a song about water and gratitude.
I would say, you know, a lot of the origins of the songs that I sing and the songs that my dad sings are these spirituals from the Americas and from America. And a lot of what Peter, Paul, and Mary sang are, you know, have deep spiritual roots, whether it's from the Reverend Gary Davis and If I Had My Way, which is Rufus and I Do, or you know, motherless child or something. They're these beautiful spirituals. So this song, you know, going on that river of song, you know, that we weave is, there's a Native American prayer song that Aloysius taught me that is a song for the water, and you sing it in the morning time, and it's like a light mist of rain comes down, and so it's a gratitude song. So I'll sing it, and I sang it also, I think, at Seneca Lake. So I'll sing it now and just kind of remember all of our Native relatives and the struggles that they're facing now. Ayana, ayana, hey, wanoina, hey, nay. Ayana, ayana, hey, wanoina, hey, nay. Ayana, ayana, hey, wanoina, hey, nay. Ayana, ayana, ayawane, yuwane, yuwina, hey, nay. Send your showers of blessings, Iwanoina, hey, nay. Upon our water, Iwanoina, hey, nay. Ayana, ayana, ayawane, yuwane, yuwina, hey, nay. Ayana, ayana, hey, Iwanoina, hey, nay. Ayana, ayana, hey, Iwanoina, hey, nay. Ayana, ayana, hey, you wanna win a hindi. Ayana, ayana, ayawane, you wanna win a hindi. Send your showers of blessings, you wanna win a hindi. Upon our water, you wanna win a hindi. Ayana, ayana, ayawane, you wanna win a hindi. Ayana, ayana, hey, you wanna win a hey, ayana, ayana, hey, you wanna win a hey, ayana, ayana, hey, you wanna win a hey, ayana, ayana, ayawane, you wanna win a hey, send your showers of blessings, you wanna win a hey, upon our water protectors, you wanna win a hey. Ayana, ayana, ayawane, you wanna win a hey.
See how smooth that was? That's why you have producers running the board. Shout out to all the producers out there. That does it for this edition of Weekend Connections, the podcast. You can hear Connections every weekday afternoon from noon to 2 on WXXI AM 1370, WRUR 88.5 FM, and WEOS Finger Lakes Public Radio 89.5 FM. You can also hear us on the WXXI mobile app. That's it. We'll talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.